feel like I'm supposed to lead this church into a season of prayer. I like seasons of doing. This morning I was up here praying, and I was praying, and what came into my mind is things that I should be doing. Of today, of all days, I'm taking time for prayer, and what is coming into my mind is things I should be doing. And I don't think that's the Lord. I don't think He's saying, hey, what are you doing here talking to me? Get downstairs and get that spaghetti dinner started. Get the chicken laid out. Do you think He's saying that? He's not saying that. So, who's saying that? I mean, it's my logical mind saying, hey, you've got so much time before church starts. I went over at 7:30 to the house, and Diane, and after being over here for an hour, and Diane said, how's it going? And I said, good. Because I told her I need to get stuff started this morning, and I basically hadn't done anything except pray. That's so counterintuitive. Lauren, you don't know what counterintuitive means. But it means if you have a lot to do, like there was a guy named St. Augustine who, St. Augustine, and I think it was him that said, I have so much to do today that instead of praying for 1 hour, I better pray for 2 hours. Do you see the humor in that? If you have a whole lot to do today, we would say, I better pray, cut my prayer and devotion time to 30 minutes so it gives me 30 minutes more to get all that I have done today. Now that makes more sense, right? Yeah, that's how we think. But Augustine thought, well, with an hour or more prayer, I'm going to be prepared to do all that God has for me today. I need a little extra prayer because I got so much to do. So that's what counterintuitive means. Counterintuitive means that we logically think this makes sense, but what really makes sense is doing something that seems contrary to what makes sense. And so this morning, I'm trying to pray, and I'm just thinking about all I got to do. And so then you think, well, I may as well just get up and do it because my prayer's not doing any good. Am I speaking to the right people? Or, okay, God, that's all I got. I'm out of here. Thanks for listening. Right? It is difficult. And for some people, I know that there are some prayer warriors in the church. I used to, I loved it. When I was at Mason, I had one lady that I called Alberta Percival, who was 95 years old, and some people thought the biggest contrarian that God ever put on the face of the earth. One time I was giving her a ride home from the church. She had been there to help with apple butter, and she was starting to feel tired, and she said, I need to go home. Well, there had been a little drama at the apple butter, if you can imagine. And on the way home, Alberta said, that woman is lucky I couldn't get my leg up any higher than this, because if I could have, she would have got it right in the rear. But when there was a crisis, I would be on my way to the crisis, and I would call Alberta. And I would say, Alberta, here's my prayer need. And I knew that she was praying the whole time. I got to do her funeral. It was a joy and a sorrow.
Because then who was I going to call?
I don't really call anybody here. I didn't call anybody there after Alberta. And so I'm thinking about preaching about prayer today, and I've got a scripture that I'm going to read, and then I think maybe it was, I don't know, I was starting to get off track from this sermon about prayer. But here we go. You know what I love about 8:30? Sometimes I don't know what I'm going to say. I mean, I know what I have prepared, but I don't know what I'm going to say. And then it seems like I'm so good at remembering what I said that I go to 9:30 and 11, and I can say the same thing. Jo Lynn goes to 9:30 church, and I mean, sometimes I go, but I can use the same illustrations, even if I didn't have them in my notes, and I wonder if that's even right. Because you guys are hearing some of this stuff just like I'm hearing it for the first time. And then at 9:30, I was titling my sermon Glorifying God in Life and Death, and you'll know why I gave it that title before, or when we read the scripture. But that's going to be a sermon for another day. At the time, King Herod caused terrible suffering for some members of the church. He ordered soldiers to cut off the head of James, the brother of John. And when Herod saw that this pleased the Jewish people, he had Peter arrested during the festival of unleavened bread. He put Peter in jail and ordered 4 squads of soldiers to guard him. Herod planned to put him on trial in public after the festival. While Peter was being kept in jail, the church never stopped praying to God for him. They didn't leave their bulletins in the pews. Yeah, I listened to a sermon this week, and the preacher said, if you can't say amen, at least say ouch. The night before Peter was to be put on trial, he was asleep and bound by 2 chains. Trial and execution are probably going to happen in the same day. It's not the trials like our trials, where they go on and on. So the night before Peter was to be put on trial, and you can read the night before Peter was to be killed, a soldier was guarding him on each side, and 2 other soldiers were guarding the entrance to the jail. Suddenly, an angel from the Lord appeared, and light flashed around in the cell. The angel poked Peter in the side and woke him up. Tell me, how many of you would be sleeping if you knew tomorrow was your day? That if you knew tomorrow was the day you were going to die, would you be sleeping? I don't know what this says about Peter, but that just really struck me. Like when Paul and Silas were in jail, do you remember what they were doing? Singing and praising God. And we don't often think about singing, but singing, you know, people say, I don't sing very loud, or I just move my lips, or... Now, it used to be you had to at least move your lips. Now, in our society today, it's pretty acceptable just to stand there and not even pretend like you're singing. That's what I hated about Dawn going downstairs, because there went half of our Now that's a good thing. Yeah, they were, and we don't often think about when we are not singing, here's an amen or ouch, when you're not singing, you're not using the voice God gave you to praise Him. Now either say amen or say ouch. Peter's asleep. Here's what I think it says about Peter. If I live, it's Christ, and if I die, it's gain. And Peter's not the one who said that. Paul's the one who said that. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's why I think Peter was asleep. I am at peace if the Lord spares me, and I am at peace if I meet the fate that James met. See, James was killed and then Peter was taken prisoner. James was killed and Herod thinks, wow, they like that so much, they're really going to like it if I take the big cheese. They're going to love it if I put Peter to death. And all I can draw from this is Peter said, if I live or if I die. I met with a person yesterday who has something wrong with them, and they said, I'm not worried about it. So an angel poked Peter in the side and woke him up. And Peter's going, oh, do you ever get waken up in the middle of the night? You ever have a dream and you think it's real? And when you woke up, you're not even sure? I've said on numerous occasions, I don't know if I dreamt this or if it happened, but did we have this conversation? And someone will say, no. And I'll say, well, maybe we're supposed to. And he said, quick, get up. The chains fell off his hands. And the angel said, get dressed and put on your sandals. Peter did what he was told. Then the angel said, now put on your coat and follow me. Peter left with the angel, but he thought everything was only a dream. Then they went past the two groups of soldiers, and when they came to the iron gate to the city, it opened by itself. Diane was walking in the church yesterday. Oh, no, she had gone to get the mail. I didn't know she went to get the mail. I was going to get the mail. I came back from getting the mail, and I was going out this way. She went that way. I came in the side door. She was coming in the slider door. So she walks up on the deck. She's got the mail, and I open the sliding door, and she goes, hooey! I didn't expect that door to open by itself. They went past the two groups of soldiers, and when they came to the iron gate to the city, it opened by itself. They went out and were going along the street when all at once the angel disappeared. Peter, now, what does yours say, Jolynn? What does verse 11 say? Of yours, Diane. Okay, yeah. When Peter had come to himself, yeah, it's like pinch yourself. And he's going, well, what do you know? I'm not going to die tomorrow. Peter now realized what had happened, and he said, I am certain that the Lord sent his angel to rescue me from Herod and from everything the Jewish leaders planned to do to me. Then Peter went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark. Many of the Lord's followers had come together there and were praying. Peter knocked on the gate. If you ever YouTube or Google a song, Rhoda Open the Door. I can't remember who sings it, but there's this song called Rhoda Open the Door. And it's a funny song based on this scripture. Peter knocked on the gate, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer. When she heard Peter's voice, she was too excited to open the gate. She ran back into the house and said that Peter was standing there. "You're crazy," everyone told her. Now tell me, what were they praying for? They're praying that God would spare Peter. I mean, it doesn't say that, but don't you figure that's what they're praying for? I mean, they might have been praying, "Lord, give Peter the courage to go through with this death." If you ever pray for that for me, don't pray that. Don't pray for me. I've probably had people pray that for me before. And so have you. It's like this woman and man, and they were married, and they'd been married forever, and they didn't believe in divorce, but man, how much longer is this going to last? And this woman said to her husband as they're driving down the road, "Honey, this marriage is so bad that I'm just praying that the Lord will take one of us. And when He does, I'm moving in with my sister in Phoenix." We know which one she was praying the Lord would take. "You're crazy," everyone told her, but she kept saying that it was Peter. "I'm telling you, it's Peter out there. Don't bother us, we're praying." Then they said, "Well, maybe it's his angel." But Peter kept on knocking until finally they opened the gate. They saw him and they were completely amazed. Peter motioned for them to keep quiet. Then he told how the Lord had led him out of jail. He also said, "Tell James and the others what has happened." After that, he left and went somewhere else. The next morning, the soldiers... So, I don't understand that line right there, just for the first time. And I studied this week. Wasn't James killed? It's a different James? Oh, probably James, brother of Jesus. Okay. They said earlier it said James, brother of John, and tell James, brother of Jesus, because James, brother of Jesus, he becomes a pretty big deal in the church. He's the one, when they held the council to decide if the Gentiles were indeed going to be able to accept the gospel, James was in charge of that council. So the next morning, the soldiers who had been on guard were terribly worried and wondered what happened to Peter. Herod ordered his own soldiers to search for him, but they could not find him. Then he questioned the guards and had them put to death. After this, Herod left Judea to stay in Caesarea for a while. So Peter may have just said his bedtime prayers and gone to sleep and not worried about what was going to happen. "Lord, I have peace, whatever you bring." The church is praying for him, and they don't believe their prayers answered. You could preach a whole sermon on that, right? And then I'm going to go ahead and read the last of chapter 12. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god, not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. This chapter begins with the death of one of the saints. It ends with the death of one of the villains. And in between, the first time that you would have ever heard or read this story, and again, you can't put on fresh eyes or ears, but the first time you would have ever heard or read this story, you would have not known if Peter was going to be added to that list who died. Chapter 12 is a turning point in the book of Acts. Up until chapter 12, it had pretty much been Peter proclaiming Christ. And from here on out, it's going to be this guy named Saul who becomes Paul who starts to proclaim Christ. In chapter 7 of Acts, towards the end of chapter 7, you have a guy named Stephen who was killed, martyred. It's what I don't understand about prosperity preaching. How God wants to bless you, and if you have enough faith and give enough money, you'll be blessed. And the song comes to mind by Laura Story, "What if his blessings come through teardrops?" I'm convinced that we in the church don't spend enough time in prayer. And when we don't pray, we don't know whose voice to follow. I'm going to close with this. There's a guy named Dr. Mark Rutland, and he tells about an evangelist who, while preaching at a revival in East Texas, he was invited by a farmer to see his championship pigs. When they arrived, the preacher was surprised to find the farmer's pigs all looked so skinny. And he said to the farmer, "I don't know much about raising pigs, but I expected pigs of championship caliber to be a little fatter." "What happened?" And the farmer said, "Well, they used to be nice and plump, but several weeks ago, I developed laryngitis, and I couldn't call them anymore when it was feeding time. So I started knocking on the post with the hammer to get them to come, and they caught on quickly. The only problem is now they're chasing every woodpecker in the woods." When I'm praying this morning, and I hear a voice saying, "You'd better get to work to get that chicken started," I knew it wasn't God. I knew it wasn't. I can do the most damage when I'm praying. And Satan doesn't want you to pray. Okay, I said I was going to end with this one. I'll end with this one. The pilots who go in to bomb, they say that they don't really start taking flak. This is a term that they use. When they're going in to drop bombs on a target, they say, we really don't start taking flak until we get really close to the target. It's usually pretty smooth flying until we get close to the target. And that's when all HE double hockey sticks breaks loose. If you're willing to pray, you're going to find obstacles. And I say if you're willing to pray, I mean for you who pray, I mean pray more. And for you who don't pray, I mean pray. If you're willing to pray, you're going to find obstacles. And the closer you get to the Lord, the more the Lord's enemy is going to try to dissuade you from praying. We're going to enter a season of prayer. And I pray that you're a part of it. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you hear us. And it's crazy to think that you who created the heavens and the earth and who laid out every day and who know all, that you find joy when we pause from our busyness to spend time with you. And lest we think that it's all about us talking to you, impress upon us that sometimes our job is to listen. It's to be a conversation with you, and not one where we do all the talking, but where we listen for your voice. And remind us that often you speak in a still small voice, and we have to be quiet to hear it. I pray for the people who are here today, Lord, that you have called them here to hear this. Lord, I know you've put me here to hear this. That whatever is going to be done is going to begin with prayer. Revivals begin with prayer. Salvation begins with prayer. Lord, help us pray. In Christ's name, I do pray this. Amen.